So Lord has warned Brahma that please do not give such kind of benedictions to demons who can do no good to the universe. And after instructing in this way, the Lord disappeared. Adrishya Sarvabhutanam. The Lord is called Adrishya. In many places in the Vedic scriptures, it does not mean he does not have a form. That is why clearly it is mentioned here, he is Adrishya Sarvabhutanam. To most of the living entities, generally, Lord is not visible. But if he is invisible, how he became disappeared? One is already invisible, he cannot disappear. It means he was visible to Lord Brahma, to Prahlad Maharaj, such exalted devotees. But to general living entities, he remains disappeared. But even to those living entities, the Lord appeared for some time for the purpose of killing Hiranyakashipu, and then Tata cha antardadhe harihi. The Supreme Lord Hari antardadhe, he disappeared from that spot also. And then after the Supreme Lord disappeared, then Brahma, Lord Shiva, all the other demigods were present. Prahlad Maharaj worshipped all of them, accepting them as part and parcels of the Supreme Lord. And then it is mentioned here, what happened next? Very extraordinary thing. Along with Shukracharya, Kavyadhibhi, and other great saints, Adivi, Lord Brahma, whose seat is on the lotus flower, made Prahlad the king of all the demons and giants in the universe. Daityanam Danavanam cha Praharadam Akarot Patim. Prahlad Maharaj was made Pati. Pati means the king, the master, or the controller. So this word is very important, Patim. So everybody, all the living entities here, we are trying to become Pati. Pati means the master or controller. So people tell why there is inequality in this world. There should be equality. So even though people are proponents of equality, at the same time they want to become masters. So you want to become master, you want to become topper, at the same time you tell there should be equality. If there is equality, how you can be topper, how you can be strongest, how you can be smartest, how you can be richest, how you can be superior? We want to enjoy the pleasure of superiority, at the same time there should be equality. So this is not possible. So that is why the disparity in this world is created by the illusory energy of the God to facilitate the lording over tendency of the living entity. Because we want to enjoy being superior. Nobody wants to be inferior here in this world. Everyone wants to be superior. I am in a better position. I am having more money, I am having more opulence, I am having better looks, I am having XYZ. In everything I want to become superior, better. I want to become Lord. Lord, proprietor, controller. And because I want to do that is why there are stronger and the weaker. This is explained by Arjuna when he goes back to meet Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Arjuna was very much morose, very depressed. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is asking, speculating, what is the reason for his depressed state of mind? Then Arjuna finally reveals that you are asking about the welfare of all the people I have, because he went to Dwarka. He told all the relatives not well. What has happened to you? You told all of them you are asking, they are gone. And my Supreme Lord, he is also no more present on this planet. So how entire Yadu dynasty got vanished? They were very strong. Yadu dynasty was so strong, they defeated the devtas also, demigods. They brought the Sudharma assembly hall. We have various technologies. Here we have some technology by which the excessive heat and cold does not affect us. We have air conditioners. Darkness does not affect us. We have proper lighting here. In that way, we are immune to certain changes of material nature. But Sudharma assembly hall of the Devatas was so nice that any kind of material disturbance will not affect the person. Effect of old age, invalidity, disease, anxieties, all these things are not going to impact a person who is sitting in the Sudharma hall. And they were so powerful, they brought the assembly hall from heavenly planet to this planet. Who can be more powerful than them? So how they died, all of them, huge dynasty, crores of people. So then Arjuna explains. So the stronger Yadu killed the weaker Yadu. In this way, all of them vanished. So then very nicely in the purport, Prabhupada explains. So there is always somebody stronger than us, somebody weaker than us. So although people may tell why this discrimination is there, why somebody is very rich, why somebody is poor. If poor is not there, there is no meaning to rich. Who is rich? So because we want to exercise our superiority, we want to enjoy being superior, Krishna creates this differences through material nature. So this disparity is because of our tendency to enjoy being superior here. Otherwise, everyone is same on spiritual platform. That is why a person who is wise, for him there is no disparity. Because he sees these are only external designations, otherwise all, everyone are equal on spiritual platform. Shuni chaiva shapakecha pandita samadarshina. Learned person, ignorant people, they will discriminate. Here is superior, here is inferior, here is stronger, here is weaker. But a learned man, pandita, he will know everyone is same. Samadarshina, these are only external dresses, machines. Machine is stronger, machine is weaker. Machine is smart, machine is dull. But the rider of the machine, they are all the same. This is the vision of a learned man. And this tendency to become superior, to lord over, is the cause of all the complications in our life. So we are not the lords, but we are trying to become lords. Shukdev Goswami in second canto, he is offering very wonderful prayers. So one such prayer is verse number 40 of fourth chapter. Shriyapati Yajyapati. Krishna is addressed as Shriya. Shriya means Goddess Lakshmi. She is controlling all the opulences. Shriyapati Yajyapati. It is told. We are trying to acquire the opulences, but from where all the opulences are coming? They are coming from Goddess Lakshmi. And who is the enjoyer, who is the controller of Lakshmi? He is the Supreme Lord. Similarly, we want to, we may not want to, but actually we are supposed to do sacrifice. Work only should be done, as it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. It should be done for Yagyarthat Karmano Anyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhanaha. All the work should be done only so that we can sacrifice the results of the activity, not for enjoying the results of the activity. Sacrifice for whom? So that is why Krishna is called Yajnapati. Shriyapati Yajnapati. Krishna is the master of all sacrifices. Krishna is the benefactor of all sacrifices. So we should work so that we can satisfy Krishna by the results of our sacrifice. Work should only be done to sacrifice the result of those works. If we don't sacrifice, then what happens? Loko karmoyam loko bandhanaha. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. In this world, we get entrapped by karma bandhana. The reaction will come. We have to take more bodies, more birth, more death, and more miseries will continue. If we sacrifice the results of the activities, and this process is very, very powerful. That is why it is mentioned in Bhagavatam. When we sacrifice the results of our activities, immediately we get freedom from the sinful reactions. By doing austerity, by doing charity, immediately we get freedom from the sinful reactions. Of course, we should not do it again. We should not repeat. Otherwise, these are very powerful processes. We suffer only because of sinful activities. And when we do austerity or charity, these activities purify us immediately, especially from the result of immediate sins that we are committing. So that is why these processes are not ordinary, what Prabhupada has given us. The simple tapasya, simple austerity, it will make us happy. Simple austerity of getting up early in the morning. Simple austerity of taking a cold water bath. Simple austerity of eating only Krishna Prasadam, fasting on Ekadashis, other days, there is definite trouble for the body in such austerity, but austerity purifies us of sinful activities. And when we are free from the reaction of sinful activities, we are happy immediately. So that is why those people who follow the regulations of austerity, they become happy, because suffering is only because of similarly charity. As soon as we give charity, we get relief, we become happy. But we should not repeat. Again, if you do sinful activities, again the wood becomes wet. So we should be careful. So Shriyapati, Yajnapati, Prajapati, he is the master of all the living entities also. People want to become manager, senior manager, general manager, CEO, chairman, the kings, presidents, Rashtrapati. They enjoy being in the superior position of controlling people. But actually, Krishna is the controller of all the people. He is called Prajapati also. So who is the proprietor? If you see any property, you go outside, you found a car, you will tell, it is my car? No. So similarly, we have found this machine, so it does not belong to us, we cannot claim. So we should understand, we go to the, there is official record, which person owns this car, which person owns this house. Similarly, there is record in the Vedas, who is the proprietor, who is the master. And people like Shukdev Goswami, who are the knower of Vedas, they are explaining who is the ultimate proprietor. So thus he is explaining, ultimate proprietor, master of all opulences is Krishna. Shriyapati, master of all sacrifice is Krishna. Sacrifice should be done only for Krishna. I should not try to control other living entities. Controller is Prajapati, he is Krishna. Similarly, Lokapati, he is the master of all the planets also. Dharapati, he is the master of this planet Earth also. Patim Gatish Chandaka Vrishni Satvatam. And he is the Pati and he is the Gati. Gati means ultimate destination of whom? Vrishni, Satvatam, Andhaka. These are various names of dynasties which belong to Yadu dynasty, sub-dynasties, Andhaka, Vrishni. So Krishna is not just the ultimate controller, but these people are pure devotees of Krishna. So that is why Krishna is their ultimate destination also. Bhagavan Prasidatam, he tells, may that Supreme Lord be pleased with me. So these prayers are very, very important. Prabhupada always told we should try to memorize all these prayers and then go in front of deities and then offer the prayers. This is another very important process which is called Vandanam, one of the 9 processes of devotional service. Worshipping deities, very good that we are doing here. Now we should also go and offer prayers. We should memorize these prayers. Initially we can read and we can offer, then we can memorize and we can offer. So this is very important. And of course, just not memorization, we should realize that is even more important. Otherwise, memorization is easily. Of course, memorization also will give realization, because these are absolute words. If we simply memorize, then we realize the meanings automatically. Simply we chant these prayers with devotion, with attention, realization also will come. But we should aim at realization. That is more important than. Otherwise, Prabhupada mentions how Prabhupada gives very nice joke in this context, that how just memorization will not help you. Prabhupada tells one Indian, he went to West. Now, of course, we don't speak English and he was supposed to go immediately. So he told, what do? I don't know the language. He told, does not matter. Simply learn Three words, three sentences, and then you can do with most of the things. Okay, what is that? So one is, you learn yes. And second word, no. And third, yes. Yes. Yes, no, and very good. Just these three words, if you know, then most of your work will be done. So in this, when people will ask, you will tell yes by intuition, or you will tell no, or very good. And he was actually able to manage for a long time by yes, no, and very good. And he got engaged also in a job there. And once it so happened, there happened a theft in the company. And then people thought, oh, this is a new person. So the watch got stolen of the proprietor. So he thought, oh, this person has stolen the watch maybe. He's a new person. So let me go and ask him. So he goes and asks, have you stolen my watch? He tells, yes. Yes. So then he tells, so give it back to me. He tells, no. So he tells, I'll send you to police. He tells, very good. So yes, memorization is very good, but we should understand the meaning also. So if we realize, it will actually be effective. So we memorize, we offer, we understand the meanings. Prabhupada has very carefully translated all the verses. So what is the meaning? The meaning is Krishna is the pati. Pati means husband. We cannot enjoy with anybody's wife. Only pati, husband, is supposed to enjoy. If I am willing to enjoy other's wife, it is very, very contaminated thought. Very, very most abominable tendency. Of course, that is becoming increasingly common in cities like Mumbai and other places. But that is very, very contaminated thought. What is education? As told by Chanakya Pandit, Matravat Pardareshu, Pardravyeshu Loshtavrats, Atmavat Sarubhuteshu. That is education. Education is meant to give a person knowledge. By knowledge, a person becomes happy. Why people are not becoming happy by education? Because they don't understand. They don't have knowledge. They have memorized few things here and there, but they have not been able to acquire knowledge. How do I understand that this person is knowledgeable? Chanakya says, the most prolific scholar of recent times, the greatest educator of the first universities in the recent times, Takshina, Nalanda, these were the universities which started in India. Then, of course, we have many now. So he was the very prominent teacher. And what does he tell? Matravat Pardareshu. Education means every woman except your wife should be seen as mother. And others' money should be seen as garbage or useless stones. Loshtavrat. Paradravyeshu. Others' money, others' wealth, property should be seen as loshtavrat. And Atmavat Sarbhuteshu, all living entities should be seen as your own self. So thus many times Prabhupada, as people give various logics, why not to eat meat? Prabhupada gives simple example. If I cut your throat, you feel pain. Why you are cutting poor animal's throat? Simply for the satisfaction of your tongue. The simple sense you do not have. So that is why all the books written by such people who do not have this simple sense, Atmavat Sarbhuteshu, even children have this sense. So what is the use of reading any of their knowledge? It is of no value. A person cannot have this basic sense. If somebody cuts my throat, I feel pain. Why should I cut others' throat? Then they may write volumes of book. They may participate in literature festival or various debates. They may have their wonderful YouTube channels. But then what is the use? Because they don't have basic sense. So whatever they build upon it, it will be nonsense. Because this basic sense is not there. If I am cutting somebody's throat, it must feel pain. So Chanakya Pandit says, this is education. When you can perceive every living entity as your own self. I don't like this behavior for myself. Why am I behaving in this manner with other living entities? Pardravyeshu Loshtavrat. So just imagine what society would be if they are able to just implement these three elements of knowledge. All women accept your wife as mother. Others' property, wealth as dirt, garbage, and all living entities as our own self. Then the whole world is so nice. So to enjoy others' wife is very, very abominable attitude. And actually, all of us are doing that. We are trying to enjoy this material nature. And Krishna is the master of material nature. Krishna is Shriyapati. Yajyapati, Dharapati. Krishna is master of not just this Dhara, but Loka, Lokapati, of all the planets of the universe. So Krishna is the supreme proprietor, Krishna is the enjoyer, but I want to enjoy. And this enjoying tendency is the cause of this lording over nature. I want to lord over, I want to enjoy. This is the cause of all the problem of the living entity. If you want to enjoy others' wife, there would be problem. everyone is trying to enjoy. So even though we take to devotional service, still we are not freed from this enjoying tendency. Still we make plans to become pati. Still we want to become lord. Still there is calculation. How I can become center of attraction in this material world? How I can improve my position in this world and show off to others? Still I want to become lord. And this tendency does not help us either in spiritual progress or even material peace of mind. Materially also, if you enjoy others' property, there can be no peace in life. That is why it is told in Ishopanishad, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, everywhere. First verse explains, Ishavasyam, everything is owned by the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Kurvanneveha karmani jiji visheshatam samaha. In this attitude, if a person works, now what should I do if everything belongs to Lord? So everything should be used in the service of the Lord. We should assist material nature in the service of the Supreme Lord. We should use all the resources in the service of the Supreme Lord. Then that is very good. The servants also, it is explained, they live in the same house, in the same palace as the king. So just imagine a person works so hard and he purchases a very big house or he constructs a very big house, but servant without working hard is living in the same house. He has purchased very expensive car, but driver is enjoying more than the owner of the car. So being servant is not bad. Servant is enjoying the same opulence. Even dog is enjoying the same opulence. But one should know that my position is servant or dog. Servant should not think I have become master. If servant agrees to serve the master, he will enjoy the same opulence. In this way, equal opulence as that of the Supreme Lord is given to the living entity. That is called Sarshti Mukti. When the devotees go back to God at Vaikuntha, they are given equal opulence as Lord Vishnu. Same opulence. What is opulence of Lord? Shriyapati, Yajyapati, Prajapati, Lokapati, Dharapati. Same opulence is given. When Dhruva Maharaj was made the ruler of Polestar, Prabhupada explains, Narad Muni could have given him the rule of Polestar himself. Just imagine what is the position of Narad Muni. What is Polestar? Do we know that? Devatas are not able to enter that planet. There is the ocean of, there is a huge ocean of milk. And the devatas, when there is disturbance in the universal affairs, they go to meet Lord Vishnu. There is a planet called Shvetadvip in the middle of the Kshir Sagar. There Lord Vishnu is living. But they cannot go and meet. Only the liberated souls, they live there. So all the devatas, they go stand on the shore. And then they offer special prayer. They are known as Purusha Sukta. And then they wait. Lord Vishnu sometimes may respond. Sometimes they will be seeing the lotus feet. Sometimes they may just hear the voice. Other times they may not have any communication at all. Like it happened 5000 years ago. Then Brahma sat in meditation and Lord Vishnu instructed him. So this is the access. And Dhruva Maharaj, where Brahma, other devatas do not have access, Dhruva Maharaj has become the king of that place. And it is explained Narad Muni would have given him this position. So what is the position of Narad Muni? So the devotees enjoy the same opulence as that of the Supreme Lord. That is called Sarshti Mukti. They enjoy the same beauty, same power. But they should know that the source of my power is the Supreme Lord. Simply if they abide, Jeev Krishna Das E Vishwas Karle Toar Dukho Nai. Simply if the living entity understands I am servant of Krishna, there is no misery in our life. There is no misery in the servant's life. He will eat the same food which the proprietor, which the king is eating. Same food they will eat, same opulence they will enjoy, same standard of living they will have. But if they want to become proprietor, then they will be dismissed. So thus we should understand in this material world, the root cause of all problem is we are trying to become pati, we are trying to become enjoyers. This enjoying tendency is very nice. We should despise this tendency when we start hating sense gratification. That is a symptom of spiritual advancement. One should not like, one should despise the tendency of enjoying the senses, because this world belongs to Krishna. How can I think of enjoying in this world? How can I think of enjoying matter? How can I think of enjoying anything, enjoying any of the senses? The senses also belong to Krishna. It is as bad as enjoying anybody's wife. So this enjoying tendency is not good. This is the contamination. So I happened to meet one of my relatives, and he has become very rich. And among all of us, he has taken the least education. But he has become very rich. And minimal study, maximum result. Why? Because he took to business. Others, they started with jobs. So anyway, so he was telling, so Jesse, I have got, so he has got very good cars, big cars. And he was dropping me to the airport. So he was describing, Jesse, God has given everything. So pious, God believing, God fearing. God has given me so much. He has given me this. He has given me that. So I could not tell. He would have felt bad. So by Krishna's mercy, we can see he is telling, just see, God has given me this poison, that poison. So many poisons he has given me. So this material opulence is actually poison. A person who does not know, he thinks this is very nice. But as Narottam Das Thakur, the Acharyas have told, Divanishi Yajvale Tari Bare Na Dekhi Upaye. So this material opulences, they are sweet poison. As soon as you drink, there is pleasure. But when the poison enters inside, there is burning of the heart. So the same material opulences, if we analyze, so there is, these are the only sources of our stress and all the anxieties in our life. The same property, the same people, the same recognition we have acquired in the society, that is the cause of all troubles in my life. Why there is stress? Because people want to maintain this position in the society. When they are not able to attain or maintain, there is stress. Ehi vishay halahale. So that is why not ordinary poison. Halahal is most severe kind of poison. Narottam Das Thakur tells, this vishay, this sense objects here in this world, which I think it will give me pleasure, this is halahal, this is poison. That is why people who actually enjoy life, they are brahmanas, who have a very simple life, because they understand this material opulence, it is poison. It will burn my heart in the long run, although immediately gives pleasure. So this realization is important. So we should not also, we have taken to devotional service, we should also not try to compete with the materialists and try to become center of attraction. Let Krishna remain center of attraction. Let me try to help people to get attracted towards Krishna. If people, I attract anybody's attention, how will it help him or her? But if people are attracted by Krishna, then there is all good for them. They'll become very happy. So devotee should try to aspire for a very simple life. Should not try to enjoy at all. As long as there is tendency to enjoy in this material world, our sufferings will continue. Ei vishay hala hale, burning of the heart will continue. It is difficult to leave this tendency of enjoyment because we are addicted, but we have to. But when we leave, just like a person coming out of addiction, he feels great relief. We'll be greatly relieved. So this is the most important message that has to be given to the society. Please stop trying for enjoyment in this world. And let us just try to give Krishna the enjoyment. Everything is property of Krishna. How can I think of enjoying? That is not nice. That is why very beautifully it is explained in, I think, 8th canto of Bhagavatam. Klesh bhuri alpasarani karmani vipalani va. So even if you want to enjoy, this enjoyment doesn't come easy. Klesh bhuri. Bhuri means great. Klesh means misery. Lot of hard work has to be done. So disciples told Prabhupada, people are telling that they enjoy. So Prabhupada says, what kind of enjoyment is there? Because they have to work very hard. So when you work hard, where is enjoyment? You're telling I am enjoying. Where is enjoyment? When you have worked so much hard. So klesh bhuri, there is so much hard work for this material enjoyment. But alpasarani, sar means essence. What is the essence of all this material success? Satisfaction which I want to have in life, that is alp, very less. The satisfaction which we get out of this material success, that is very insignificant. We are never satisfied. Heart is never. Man kabu sukh nahi paaye. Prabhupada, yes, it is nice when you tell people, see, I built this property, I have got this rank, I am number one in country. It will give you satisfaction, but this satisfaction does not satisfy the heart. Alpasarani, the essence is very alp, very insignificant, very less. The essence of all material success is satisfaction, and that is very less. Klesh bhuri, but hard work you have to do. Klesh bhuri, extreme endeavor is required. But most of the time, essence also we don't get. Karmani vifalani, our plans are failed. Most of the time, the plans are failed. Sometimes when you are succeeding, then the essence is alpa, it is very less. So thus Bhagavatam does not compromise. It exposes the reality of this place, because Bhagavatam is conclusion of all Vedic knowledge. So the summary of this world is klesh bhuri alpasarani karmani vifalani. The acts become vifal. Most of the time it is useless labor. Na tathaiv arpitam tvai. Those who do not offer the results to you, my dear Krishna. Na tathaiv arpitam tvai. Klesh bhuri alpasarani karmani vifalani va. But it is very difficult. So how to practice this? As soon as I see anything, I wish to enjoy. This material nature is so attractive. I want to enjoy. It is very lucrative. But no, it is possible. So that is why Prabhupada mentions, Tyakva tunam ashesh mandalapati shenim sada tuchvat. Tyakva tunam ashesh. So the Goswamis, they were also the ministers in the government, very, very opulent. But Tyakva Turnam Ashesh Mandalapati, they were able to leave this position of aristocracy as insignificant piece of straw. So by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, if Lord Chaitanya is merciful, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Vidhi Mahendradishcha Kitayate. Vidhi means Brahma, who is the maker of our destiny. Mahendra means Lord Indra. Fourth most powerful personality after Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Next powerful person is Indra. Vidhi Mahendradishcha Kitayate. Keet means insect. So in the eyes of a devotee, the position of Brahma and Indra is no better than the position of insect. Vidhi Mahendradishcha Kitayate. So right now we give so much of value to material positions, and thus we are pushed to klesh bhuri, hard work. But with spiritual realization, these positions are no better than the position of insect in this material world. So this realization comes with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is very important that we try to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And chant the holy names, that is very easy way. Follow the rules and regulations, serve the spiritual master. By this, we'll be able to attract the attention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful, then this tendency of enjoying, lording over, becoming pati, it goes away from the heart. Then what happens? Then a person becomes wretched, useless, beggar in the street. By working so hard, I am getting this material position. If I do not work hard even, what will be my situation? The situation is explained in this verse. What is the verse? Tata kavyadibhi sardham munibhi kamalasana praharadam akarot patim. Prahlad Maharaj attained a situation which was not attained even by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had to do lot of hard work, 100 years of tapasya, such hard tapasya that complete flesh of his body was eaten by the ants and insects. There was no flesh when Brahma came to Hiranyakashipu. Such rigorous tapasya, he was such a strong yogi, so determined, he was able to sustain life air simply in the bones of his body. Such tolerance he was able to practice, but lot of hard work. 100 years standing on one leg, he did this tapasya. And Prahlad Maharaj became greater king by the mercy of Lord Narsingdev. So when a person thinks of nothing but giving pleasure to Krishna, then what happens? Extraordinary things happen. Happens. What is that? Ye yathamam prapadyante, tan sathaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna tells, as you surrender, so do I reciprocate. When a devotee has no other business but to give pleasure to Krishna, Krishna also has no other business but to give pleasure to devotee. Krishna has no other business. So when devotee is planning to give Krishna pleasure, Krishna is also planning to give devotee pleasure. Prabhupada is telling you, think of Krishna 24 hours, Krishna will think of 25 hours. That is Krishna's reciprocation. So when we plan to become happy, anyway we don't become happy. So let us Krishna plan for our happiness. If he plans, then definitely we are going to become happy. It is going to happen. So devotees enjoy extraordinary opulence. So Prabhupada explains very nicely here. We can practically see how the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord in the Krishna consciousness movement are getting immense opportunities for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without working very hard. The Krishna consciousness movement actually started with only 40 rupees, but now it has more than 40 crores worth of property. And all this opulence has been achieved within 8 or 10 years. So Prabhupada scaled his business from 40 rupees to 40 crores in 8 to 10 years. And this is 40 crores of 1965. So it must be 100 times more today. Or even more. 1000 times. Yeah. 1000 times. Definitely. 1000 times more. So from 40 rupees to 40 crores in a matter of 8 to 10 years. And do we see Prabhupada struggling like Elon Musk? Not sleep. Wives are leaving. My pati does not have time for me. I mean, all courtesy, nice person he is. So. But anyway, some example we have today. So we have all sympathy for him. But then he is working so hard. Wives are leaving. He doesn't have time for me. What do I do with this person? So working very hard, so all these people working 15 hours, 18 hours, 20 hours. So was Prabhupada like this? No, Prabhupada will. Yes, Prabhupada was working very hard, but then not in management like this. He would write the scriptures, he would translate, he would do his bhajans, he will sit in kirtans, he will always chant, take out time. Similarly, devotees, come what may, how much ever big the project is, devotees always find comfort of doing 6, 7, 8 hours of Sankirtan every day. But then Prabhupada tells, we can practically see how devotees who have dedicated their lives, they are getting immense opportunities for service. Without working very hard, we work limited hours. No karmi can expect to improve his business so swiftly. And besides that, whatever a karmi acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. Even though one may acquire a big empire, that is frustrating or not satisfying. But In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. Here in this material world, somebody can become rich and then they become poor also immediately. In no time, people lose their wealth. We see one person who has become richest in the country and his brother has become poor overnight. So that is why people are in great anxiety, I may not lose. But in Krishna consciousness, it is always encouraging. In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. The Krishna consciousness movement is not very popular with the karmis. Now for the material products, there is market. People are willing to take. Okay, give me this, give me that. But for Krishna consciousness, there is no market. Prabhupada is telling, nobody was eager. Swamiji, please teach me Krishna consciousness. Tell me how to surrender to Krishna. Help me how to give up material enjoyment. Nobody was asking. Rather, people were repulsive. Prabhupada tells, everywhere I am being opposed. If I go to America, entire Christians are opposing me. This person has come to take away our people. They are opposing. If I come to India, the caste Goswamis are opposing. That Mlechhas, Yavanas, he is making them Brahmanas. They are also, he is telling, he is destroying Hindu religion. They are also opposing. American disciples, they are telling, they are CIA agents. They are not getting visa to come to country. Russia, they are getting arrested to distribute books. So much trouble everywhere. So everywhere, there was opposition for the movement. But still it is growing. There is no demand for the product. So one very good rich person, retired CEO, I happened to meet him a couple of years ago. So he told, he is a Christian basically. So he was telling that I am very impressed with your movement. And especially I became CEO at a very young age. So I was traveling countries, especially when your movement was spreading. So I went and landed in Los Angeles airport. If it was Los Angeles, if I remember correctly. So then he told, because he was a member. And because he was a member, he wanted to visit the temple there. So he thought, okay, let me go here. Los Angeles, they have a big temple. So as soon as he landed on the airport, there was big signboard. Beware of Hare Krishnas. Police was putting, because devotees are distributing books everywhere. Catching, beware of Hare Krishnas. So he told, then I did not visit. I thought, airport only there is signboard. So everywhere there was opposition. But despite all this opposition, nobody has need for this product. People are opposing, government is opposing, but still the movement is growing. Krishna consciousness movement is not very popular with the karmis because this movement recommends that one refrain from illicit sex. And further, we tell don't do illicit sex, don't do meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. Nobody likes it. These are restrictions karmis very much dislike. Nonetheless, in the presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward without impediments. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. The movement will go forward without limits. Chant Hare Krishna. So thus Prabhupada tells, if you simply follow the rules and regulations nicely, yes, opposition will come. Opposition is the sign of growth. All the demons came when Krishna took birth. So when we engage in service of Krishna, there would be opposition. Our mind body will resist. Surroundings will not be favorable. So demons will come when there is birth of Krishna. But if we stick to the rules and regulations, we will grow. We will continue to advance. Even the big demons whom devatas were afraid of, the demons also got killed. They could not harm even baby Krishna. So thus in our life or in the life of movement, it will continue to grow progressively if we dedicate our life in the service of Krishna. And there is no check, Prabhupada tells. Just like nobody could stop Krishna, if you follow the rules and regulations, we are as strong as Krishna by the mercy of Krishna. So if we actually want pleasure, actually want enjoyment, we should try to give up this enjoying mentality. This is very bad. So I should not try to enjoy in this material world at all. Simply, as soon as I see anything, I should think how I can use. No, let me enjoy this phone now. I have internet connection. Let me enjoy. No. How can I use this nice phone in the service of Krishna to give pleasure to Krishna, to bring people closer to Krishna? So in this way, I see nice foodstuff. How can I offer to Krishna? I should see how can I give pleasure to Krishna. And then when I plan like this, then I see automatically in my life, spiritually, materially, there is all success, as I have always told. We often discuss devotees. We have never found a sincere devotee struggling, even materially. He could be student, he could be consultant, could be teacher, could be businessman. Everything grows very nicely. Krishna takes care. But the devotee should be very, very sincere. So in this way, a devotee can actually enjoy by giving enjoyment to Krishna. So thus, this is very important. Krishna is Satvatam Pati. Krishna is Pati. So I should give up this tendency to enjoy, think only of giving enjoyment to Krishna, and then automatically there will be enjoyment, pleasure in our life in the service of Krishna. And thus Prahlad Maharaj, simply by service of Krishna, without desiring to become king, was made king, even greater king than what Hiranyakashipu was. With this we will end. Any questions? Yes.
So we have to serve Krishna by all ways. But now, if servant serves the master, keeping this in mind that I have to serve master, so that in return I will get the reward.
Yes.
So it is analogical.
Yes.
So if we are serving Krishna by keeping this in mind,
yes. Okay, so devotee, that's nice logic. So this is the way to actually enjoy. Let me serve Krishna and become more opulent. So how far is this logic correct? So this is not correct logic. However, it is told, even if a person is not able to understand that I should not desire material enjoyment, still he can approach Krishna. As Dhruva Maharaj, he had material desires, but he approached Krishna. So we should try to encourage people that real pleasure is not in sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment is very third class. Yan maasunadi grahamedi sukhamitucham kandu yanena karayoriva dukkha dukkham tripyanti neha kripana bau dukkha bhaja kandu tivan manasijam vishaheta dhira. This sense enjoyment, we should make people understand it is not enjoyment, it is suffering actually. Oh, how suffering? So sense enjoyment is just like itching. When there is itching in the body, when you rub it, there is definitely pleasure. But this itching is not very great platform of enjoyment. Because there is itching, when you rub it, you scratch it, you feel relieved. But nobody tells that aaj to maza aa gaya, khub khujli ki, din bhar khujli kiya hu baith ke. Aaj bahut maza aaya. So definitely there is pleasure in doing khujli and rubbing, but that is relief from the misery. So the demand of the senses is compared to itching. My eyes are demanding, tongue is demanding, genitals are demanding. This is itching. This is not healthy state of life. In healthy state of life, senses do not demand anything but service of Krishna. Senses do not demand. Just like this itching does not arise in the body if blood is pure, person is fit. Similarly, the demand of the senses to satisfy arises only when a person does not have love for Krishna, loving service of Krishna. So thus, it is told, Tripyanti neha kripana bahu dukkha bhaja. By such mundane pleasure, the center is sex pleasure and other things are complementary. This material enjoyment, neha tripyanti, does not tripyanti, give satisfaction to the heart. On the other hand, after effects of such pleasures are very, very miserable. Bahu dukkha bhaja. So it is only manasija, mental concoction, that I will enjoy by doing this thing. So thus we should educate people that by serving Krishna, why you are hankering for this pleasure? Do not hanker. But still if a person desires, we should encourage, okay, no problem. Still you please try to serve Krishna. And then Krishna will fulfill your desires and he will save you from the after effects also. So in this way, there is no harm if a person approaches Krishna by any ways and means. But our duty is to educate him about that the sense enjoyment is not the high great pleasure. The greatest pleasure which a person gets is service of Krishna.
Hmm.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Okay, good question. So, Prabhu, you smartly presented first portion of the verse only. Second portion you did not tell. So, second portion of the shloka is telling, Tena tyaktena bhunjitha magrida kasya svidhanam. Tena tyaktena, tyaktena means set aside. One should be satisfied with the material resources which are set aside as the quota for the living entity to enjoy. One should not eye on others' property. So is not the money which I am producing, the results of my action which I am producing, my quota for enjoyment? So the answer is no, that is not my quota. Just like the phone has been manufactured by a worker in the factory. So this phone does not become his quota. I have made, let me take it home. No. He'll get a portion, his salary, that is his quota. So thus, whatever we are producing, what is our quota of enjoyment? That which is required for keeping the body and soul together, that's it. Just like the birds, they don't stockpile the grains. They just take some grains, next day again they will come and pick few, and in this way. So, material resources can be taken which is required for keeping body and soul together, comfortable, that's it. As soon as we indulge into luxury, then miseries of the life they begin. So that much is our quota for keeping body and soul together. However, acharyas are very merciful in Kali Yuga. So they have practically told, okay, enjoy up to 50%, no problem. But not more than that. So one can set aside up to 50% of his resources. But 50% should be used in the service of Krishna. That is his quota. Yes. Yes, yes. What to do? Okay. So, I have understood I don't want to become enjoy. But I have done some pious activities. And because of pious activity, automatically material enjoyment comes in my life. What do I do? So, yes. So, Prabhupada tells, we are not averse to enjoyment. Enjoyment, bhago, bhago. Kirtan is very melodious. Let me run away. Let me not hear. No. That is why Krishna tells, I am the sex pleasure which is not averse to religion. Even sex pleasure could be spiritual life if it is for Krishna. Sex enjoyment is also not abominable. But if it is for producing a Krishna conscious child, this world needs many, many souls who are devotees of Krishna, who can spread the right message by their spiritual potency, give people spiritual realization. And for bringing the soul here, there is a Garbhadhan process. So if you follow that, then you will get pleasure. Sex life anyway will give pleasure. So that sex life is not contrary to religious principles, not contrary to spiritual advancement. If one is engaging in sex pleasure with the pure tendency of producing Krishna conscious children. Similarly, prasadam will be tasty if we offer to Krishna. So we are, so thus Prabhupada tells, we are neither enjoyers, we are nor renunciants. So there are two classes of people. Most of them are enjoyers, materialists. Then when a person realizes this material life ultimately brings dissatisfaction, they go to Himalayas, they become renunciant, leave everything. But that is also not right position, because Himalayas also don't belong to us. The apple of Himalayas also doesn't belong to us. So Prabhupada tells, we are neither, we cannot renounce anything. Everything belongs to Krishna. Where shall we go? So we are neither enjoyers nor we are renunciants. We are devotees of Krishna. So means we will engage in service of Krishna. In serving Krishna, misery may come to us. Fasting is misery. On Gaur Purnima, we fasted till evening. We took that misery for the pleasure of Krishna. After that, there was feasting next day. We took feast also. Again, that is also for pleasure of Krishna. So thus, devotee can enjoy eating on feasting days by taking Krishna prasadam, or devotee can fast on fasting days. So thus, devotee does not calculate his personal pleasure and pain. So in this way, our pious activities get dovetailed. I am having some pious activities, I'll get good prasadam. If my pious activities are not there, I may get simple prasadam. It is okay. I am satisfied with prasadam. So thus we don't hate enjoyment. Enjoyment, rather devotee will enjoy material life automatically. Because devotee is regulated, devotee will have very, very nice material life, very comfortable material life also. In this way, the result of pious activities, they come in the life of devotee. Anybody else online? Then we'll come back. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So this we have discussed previously also. The question is, if in Japan or many countries they have legalized abortion, and specific cases if a woman is molested or raped and now she is carrying, what to do? In such cases, abortion should be allowed. But as per the any bona fide religion, abortion is not allowed. So what should be the case? So the case is, somehow a soul has taken shelter of your womb. So a baby has come to your place. Either you produced it or it has come by chance. Will you kill the baby? No, we cannot kill. So the baby has taken shelter in your house or in your womb. Forcefully somebody has given shelter, or voluntarily you have taken. How you can kill the baby? Inside the womb or outside? Suppose you find a very cute baby on your doorstep one day. You know, people drop it sometimes. Kunti Maharani gave up Karna. So a baby, if you find on your doorstep, will you kill the baby? No. So it is lying on the doorstep or lying within the womb. What is the difference? The living entity should be compassionate. That any poor soul is there, I should give protection. And especially the poor soul in the womb, outside, okay, somebody can take care. Inside, nobody can take care. So we should understand, nothing happens by chance. Everything is under control of laws of nature. By will of providence, some living entity has taken shelter. How can I kill living entity? So that is why one should be compassionate. One should understand. So in this way, abortion is nothing but killing. And killing in the womb is much more abominable when the soul is completely dependent upon you. So that is why it is not at all a good thing. Question is, aarti at 4 a.m. is good or 6 a.m., which is good? More. So we should do both times. As much as we can do, the better it is. But because we cannot do always, some regulations are there. So after 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, we do Darshan Aarti. Mangal Aarti we do before sunrise. That is the ideal time for it, and that is the best time. So if possible, we can do at both times. If we cannot do at both times, we should do before sunrise. That is preferable. Yes, yes. Prabhupada mentions, yes. Yes. So the question is, we just discussed, if we do tapasya or if we give charity, then we get relief from the sins of the past. Understood. But then there is another concept which tells you cannot change your material happiness and distress. So here apparently the material happiness and distress is changing. So how do I understand this? Am I changing the destiny? So now what is destiny? We have to understand. Destiny means the result of your actions which have become fixed. That is called destiny. Now if just like I have committed some crime, a simple crime, there will be penalty imposed. If I do not pay penalty, I'll be imprisoned. So thus this is called destiny. Within this time, there is a possibility. If you settle, you will be given relief. If you don't settle in this time, then there is imprisonment. Both are destinies. Now this freedom is there. So similarly, now you have committed some sinful activity. You give charity. You do tapasya, you will get freedom. If you don't do, then you will suffer in future. It will become fixed in some time. So before that matures into prarabdha, if you do this thing, then you are free. Both are under control of laws of nature. And in another sense, if we see that actually we are suffering, because that suffering was anyway going to come in future. When we do tapasya, we take little suffering. Your hard money, you are doing sacrifice, charity, again that is also suffering. So in that manner, in this way, we are counteracting future suffering which is going to come many folds. We are trying to counteract it by taking little bit suffering voluntarily. And this is not out of destiny, this is in control of, in the purview of laws of nature. So something which has become fixed, that cannot be changed. Yes. So now he has committed some sin. He will suffer in future. So now he has given relief. Time period. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So the question is, so if you do austerity, our sufferings reduce because we are freed from sinful reactions. Does it mean who do lot of austerity, they will suffer less? Answer is yes. That is why Rishabh Dev, father of Bharat Maharaj, ruler of the planet, he is telling what is the purpose of human life. Tapo divyam putra ka yena sattvam shuddhyet. The purpose of human life is only tapasya, nothing else. That is why Brahmachari ashram is full of tapasya. But if a person has tendency to enjoy, a window is given of 25 years, become grahastha. And see, if you see any enjoyment here, he will realize there is no enjoyment. Again vanprastha, again go to jungle after 50 years, again tapasya. Then sannyas, much more tapasya. So varnashrama system, it defines tapasya in 3/4 of human form of life minimum. Those who are wise, they continue tapasya entire life. So thus tapasya is the only aim of human form of life. Why? We get purified, shuddhye, consciousness becomes purified. Lust, greed, they vanish from the heart. This itching sensation goes away. And then what happens? Brahma Sokhyam. Then you enjoy superior happiness, which is spiritual in nature. So yes, the purpose is only tapasya voluntarily, but this tapasya should be as per the direction of the scriptures, not whimsically. Hiranyakashipu did not kind of that kind of tapasya, but as per the authorized scriptures. But of course, such kind of tapasya we cannot do in Kali Yuga. So higher than tapasya is the process of devotional service, service of Krishna. So here also minimum tapasya is there, but not rigorous tapasya which traditionally people would follow. So in service of Krishna, little bit tapasya, 4 regulative principle we follow and basic things, and then engage in service. This is much more purifying than simply giving pain to the senses. With this we will end. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.